Maggie and Perloff on the Infinity Sports Network.
Well, it's just awful to see. Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. Last night's game, Buffalo wins in Miami, but that really is not the story, Perloff. Obviously, the injury to Tua Tagovailoa. He leaves the game in the third quarter after scrambling for a first down on fourth down, where he was having a terrible game. And you can understand why he was trying to press, why he was trying to fight for every yard. He had thrown three interceptions. They had gotten stopped on a big fourth down. The Bills scored on all of those turnovers. So I'm sure he's feeling terribly and feeling like he needs to try to maybe single-handedly get his team back in the game. So he lowers his head right into DeMar Hamlin, of all people, who also has had this sort of near-death experience on a primetime game. And Tua again falls to the ground. The fencer's position that we know now with the hands up in the air, clearly diagnosed with a concussion within minutes. And now I think his football future is squarely in jeopardy.
Oh, absolutely. You know, it's interesting too, Maggie. I feel like we forget how quickly this can happen. We almost lull ourselves into a sense of comfort around the sport, and you forget you're one random play away from that happening again. Obviously, this was 2 years ago. Tua went through all of last season relatively healthy.
Yeah.
So I, you know, it happened, and I'm not surprised that it happened, but I just, in a way, convinced myself, okay, you know, Tua's going to be okay. And we're going to have Chris Nowinski on, our friend who's an expert in concussions.
Yep.
You just forget how easy it is in football. It can be a random play. It doesn't have to be a huge dynamic hit. It can be just a normal fourth down. You're right. He was trying to make a play. It wasn't a gigantic bang, bang. I feel he ran into DeMar Hamlin and his neck just went the wrong way.
Yeah.
And boom, we're right back to where we were in 2022.
Yeah, and you know, it bothers me a little bit, and we'll get to Tua's future, but it bothers me that it's being reported as this is his third concussion. That's not true. We saw the first one, at least that we know of, in 2022, again, against the Buffalo Bills, the Matt Milano hit where Tua gets up and then literally falls to the ground, stumbles to the ground. He gets checked out. They say it's a back issue, and he gets sent back into the game, and they're not counting that. Meanwhile, the NFLPA fired the independent neurologist or whatever after that because he allowed Tua to go back into the game. Then we get the scary moment in Cincinnati where he's carted off the field. Then we get the Packer game that forced him to miss the last two games of the season, including the playoffs. So spare me with the three concussions. Clearly had a head injury in that first game with the Milano hit. So we're talking about four now. And listen, you and I have a different vantage point on this. We can say you should not play football again. That's obviously for him. But when you have former players coming out and saying you should think about life after football, I think that matters. You don't see a lot of players who are coming out and saying, shake it off and get back out there. You're seeing guys like Shannon Sharp and Chad Ochocinco and others who are saying, and Damian Woody last night in the postgame show on ESPN saying, it's not worth it. You have your whole life. And I know he's like, just signed this big contract and the money and proving it to people and all that. You've proven it. You made it to the NFL. They gave you the big contract. They believed in you. You had your rookie deal. That's 20 plus million. You know, this is not, if you play your cards right, that should be enough to get you through a lifetime. So, Pearl, I think, again, it's easy for you and I to say step away or what have you. But I think when former players are saying it, really take a hard look, don't you have to take that into consideration?
I'd honestly want to listen to like the top medical expert on this first before former players, because I'm not sure they know exactly the repercussions of playing and the risk. They seem pretty high. I mean, you can't ignore the money, though, Maggie. I mean, it's an incredible amount of money.
No, I know.
Which I think,
and I
he
think
already has.
Pride.
He already has some money, but you have to understand, like, for quarterbacks, like you're going to weigh that in this calculation. There's just no way. It's $200 million. Yeah, I mean, that's a ton of money. It's hard to walk away. You might say, yes, I risk something, you know, that's the thing. You have to sit down with the doctor and say, what are the risks of me playing? Am I going to be able to function cognitively
right
if I keep playing? Do I want to risk that? I think it's not as simple. I think Tua is going to be really, I mean, Tua is going to want to play again. We just know that. I mean, it doesn't matter what Shannon Sharpe says. It doesn't matter what anyone says. Unless a doctor totally shuts him down, he's going to want to play again. I mean, he did talk about retirement, remember, after 2022.
Yeah, he did. He said he considered it.
So it's in that air, but this contract is probably going to weigh into his decision, just humanly.
I guess here's the question, and we'll hear from Mike McDaniel in a second, giving the update on Tua last night. Should it be his decision? Like, this is one of those things where, it's your personal freedom, right?
Yeah.
Or if a doctor is saying you're cleared now, but what's going to happen? Like, we saw in 2022, how quickly did this escalate? He got hit 1 week. He actually played the next week. Then he's carted off on a stretcher. Then at the end of the season, he's missing games because his head hits the turf in Green Bay. Like, we've seen this before. If you think this is his last concussion, wouldn't you be naive? So how many of these is he going to rack up? I mean, I think that didn't we learn so much from the guys of you know, the 70s and 80s and even the 90s about, you know, how the repeated concussions really are that's the part of it that just really kind of scrambles your brain a little bit.
Yeah, it's a great question. I remember some of my favorite players were Philadelphia Eagles from the 90s, and they're dead now because some of the after effects, like suicide and all sorts of terrible problems happened. I have a question too, and we have Chris Owinski later. Like, is medical technology help with any of this? Is there any treatment for concussions? I don't think there is really.
So you remember the Guardian caps that they're wearing?
I was actually thinking about
just wear that.
I don't understand. So, well, I mean, that's not a foolproof thing, but that should help. He does not wear a Guardian cap, right?
No. But he has a special helmet that he wears, and it's a different kind of helmet. It's supposed to give him a little bit more protection. I mean, I don't know. This stuff kind of feels like. I don't know how effective it is, but the Guardian cap, maybe he just wears it. And if you really care, like, who cares how you look if you can get out there and play?
He does care.
Like, who cares about the vanity of it?
I was thinking a lot about this off-season narrative, too, that he lost weight. Last year, he put on weight, and it worked. He wanted to be faster this year and make plays.
Yeah.
That, now you think about it, that's a really bad plan. Like, if that is part of the reason that he was more vulnerable here, last year he looked stocky and he looked like he had a lot of neck support. This year he does look thin. And if that's a plan, that was a bad plan. Like, if it was working health-wise, man, I think he will regret that.
Let's hear from head coach Mike McDaniel. He was asked first about Tua going on IR after he was diagnosed with a concussion.
The furthest thing from my mind is, what is the timeline? I want to know. We just need to evaluate and I'm just worried about my teammate and like the rest of the guys are.
That's fair. Mike McDaniel also being asked about Tua's future.
For me to go ahead and forecast things that I don't know in my non-field of expertise, I don't think that's appropriate.
Yeah, I mean, he's saying the right thing there. They don't know. They don't know anything.
Yeah.
Skylar Thompson comes in, and he was ineffective. The game was out of reach at that point. I mean, it had just been a terrible game for Tua. And Miami in general, they were getting absolutely smoked. And again, you can understand why he would want to try to make a play. And to be honest, if he gets that first down and somehow they get back in the game, I bet you and I come in and we're like, wow, look at Tua selling out, you know, trying to make something happen, trying to make up for the bad plays from before. One of the interceptions wasn't his fault. It was a weird ricochet, but the other two were pretty bad.
Well, the shame about that play is he didn't need to run into DeMar Hamlin. I'm not sure he knew where the first down. He was already past the first down line. He could have slid or gone down. It was a completely unnecessary.
But it was fourth down. So I think you're always worried you're going to slide and they're going to do the replay. And it's like your right butt cheek was before the first down line. And now all of a sudden.
Right. But he definitely could have he could have gone down in a different way. Like, he really tried to ram into. I don't think he thought he didn't know he was past the first down line. He was 2 yards past.
Yeah.
He easily could have gone down, but he was trying to make that play, again, which was, it's a shame because it was totally unnecessary. He could have gotten out of that. He should know better than to try and make that kind of play, too.
I know, but see, that's
I see
thing.
A lot of quarterbacks doing this now. Guys, Lamar Jackson was trying to, he ran into some guys.
Oh,
last
I know.
Week.
Guys are going head first. It's
well, also, quarterbacks are trying to make, I've seen this around the league. Like, quarterbacks are, like, running into safeties and being, like, flexing over them. I'm like, and Lamar Jackson did it, I think, in week 1 on the Thursday night game.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, you, what do you think is going to happen? The more hits you take, the more likely you are to be injured. So I feel like maybe two is a wake-up call for the rest of the NFL, like minimize the amount. Quarterbacks are particularly vulnerable. They're not built like running backs to take that kind of punishment. And you see guys like, I honestly think your guy, Josh Allen, last night he didn't have to run because the game was out of control. But I feel like he's way too aggressive running too. Maybe this will be a wake-up call. Hey, just throw it out of bounds. I don't need this six-yard gain.
Yeah, Pat, what did you say? Jaden Daniels, right?
Yeah, he needs another one that needs to learn how to slide.
Yeah,
he can't slide at all. He's going to kill himself if he tries to slide because he's completely awkward. He does this log roll at the end of every run. It's hard.
You know, the funny thing is, though, I find that you want the guys to slide, but I understand what Tua was doing. You can't lower your head like that, obviously. That's never a good sign. But I get what he was doing. He's having a terrible game. You know, he just signed this $53 million contract. They escaped the win over Jacksonville. It's been an emotional week, okay? All the Tyreek Hill stuff. And to be honest, I think the Dolphins put too much pressure on this game. It was all about how Josh Allen owns the Dolphins and all about his record, and it's 13-1 since 2018 and the Bills and they're your daddy and all that stuff. And I feel like this game got bigger than it actually needs to be. Let's talk about it. It's week two. It's week two and you won week one. So, like, to me, this felt like, from the Miami side, the rhetoric was like this. We've got to prove that we can beat Josh Allen and we can beat the Bills in Miami. Because they're looking at last year, week 18, they lost that game and they lost the AFC East. And I think there was too much built up on this game. And then Tua goes out and stinks. So now you're at a 4th-and-4 with plenty of time left to get yourself back in the game. And selling out to get a first down. Like, I can't come on the air today in good conscience and criticize him for that. Like, oh, you should have been protecting yourself. We know that now because of the horrible thing that happened. But in the moment, I'm like, Tua's doing everything. He's selling out to try to get his team back in the game. That's an admirable quality that we usually ascribe to players.
But I kind of disagree about one thing. Like, this is maybe the most important game of this. Because last year they lost by a hair, the division. Yep.
Tua threw a bad pick, and that was, again, he threw a pick, and it sealed the win for Buffalo, and they lost the AFC East and had to go to Kansas City.
Right. I mean, if they're going to win this division, they have to win their home game against the Bills. So this is you're saying it's not an important game, but it's not like a division. Like, week one against Tennessee, who cares? But this, I'm sorry, against Jacksonville. Yeah. I keep on confusing Tennessee and Jacksonville. Anyway, this was as important a game. They're not going to have a more important game on their schedule, are they?
Well, I mean, because who knows what the Jets are going to be. I mean, this could be a three-horse race here in the AFC East.
No, it was not going to be a three-horse race. Well, I mean, Miami looked terrible week one. You have to remember that, too. They did not look good. And their players, like, how... It's the same story as last year. Forget Tua. Like, their great players are old and coming on and off the field and feels like they're always, like, ankle injuries everywhere. Teron Armstead with some weird harness can't play an entire series in a row. I don't think they're in this race. And now with Tua.
Well, now, they're definitely going to be behind the eight ball.
But you could see, even say Tua was healthy, like, they're a class below Buffalo.
Well, I hesitate to say that because the skill position and the weapons are still great. When you have Waddle and you have Tyreek Hill and you have Devon Achane, those guys are dogs, like, not to steal from McAfee or whatever, but that's what they are. They're really great players. And if you get into shootouts, you know, you probably feel comfortable that you could hold your own. You're right, the defense was...
In September and October, yeah, but you're not... This is not... They're brittle. Look at last year. They have a lot of big names on defense. They have a lot of big contracts on defense. Those guys aren't going to be on the field by the end of the year.
I know, but see that they talked about that a little on the broadcast. Obviously, we're talking about the Dolphins and Bills game last night where Tua leaves the game in the third quarter with a concussion. Now his future may be in jeopardy, but the idea that he was selling out on that play, to be critical of him today, I think is disingenuous. And then... Because he's doing something we generally admire about quarterbacks. And
No. We do not. We don't admire a quarterback for doing that.
Going for it on a fourth down when you've had an awful game. You just said this could be the most important game of their season. He's trying to make up for all the bad mistakes that he's made prior.
Every time Lamar or any mobile quarterback runs into a guy, and we always say that's stupid. We're evolved enough as a football nation to know what quarterbacks take on. Everybody criticizes Josh Allen. My 12-year-old daughter doesn't watch NFL, and she says Josh Allen runs too much. Honestly, like, we know, we're savvy enough to know quarterbacks should not be taking on, they should not run into the guy like that.
Okay,
we say that all the time.
But how bad would Tua be getting roasted today if he, you know, you already saw the team lacking confidence in him when before the end of the half, when you have 8 seconds left to go and it's third down and you're in the red zone and they decide to kick the field goal. They didn't even let Tua take another shot at the end zone there. That's got to do something to a quarterback psyche. You know what that is. That's, oh my gosh, my team just gave up on me. We're trailing. We have 8 seconds left. Yeah, you have no timeouts, but you can take a shot at the end zone and still have time to get your field goal unit out to kick a chip shot.
Not the way last night was going. I actually thought, I saw you tweet about that. If they had tried to run another play the way that drive was going, they definitely would not have gotten any points.
You've got Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle. Take a shot at the end zone. I mean, come on. It's not like you've got plotting dudes out there who can't, you know, run.
Plotting dudes, that's the problem. They're great. And Buffalo was brilliant last night. The way that Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle score is if they're at their own 30 and they get a 70-yard runway to run by everybody.
Yeah,
well, when Buffalo could sort of pack the field in the red zone, and the announcers were all over this, then Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle are completely neutralized. You can't use your speed when you're only able to run 10 yards.
I just think that you saw a team that had sort of given up. Like, Tua's got to be understanding, this looks like you don't have confidence in me if you're kicking that field goal on third down when there's plenty of time for me to get a playoff and another play. Plenty of time. For a professional NFL quarterback who's making $50 million a year, you've got to be able to get a playoff with 8 seconds left to still leave 2 seconds left on the clock to possibly kick the field goal. So you have all this stuff stacked up on top of each other. You're calling it the most important game on their schedule. He's playing like garbage. And so at a 4th and 4, when you're that close, you're going to get a 1st and goal at the 4. I think we do praise these guys for selling out like that. I think it looks like, man, he kept this alive. And if they score there and maybe they get a turnover, Josh Allen's always good for one a game usually. Then you get a turnover, then maybe the whole game flips. And now we're talking about Miami's right back in it.
I don't know. Maybe I'm
no,
a EJ, different. No, you like quarterback. We do not praise quarterbacks for being tough guys. Like if they, and anybody who does is making a mistake for this very reason. I'm sorry, EJ, you were going to say?
Yeah, no, I think you got to coach the game that you're in, right? So a normal game where you're not having terrible turnovers, your receivers know what routes to run, and they're not leaving Tua out to dry, and your offensive line can actually block, you don't have your tackles hurt. Yeah, maybe in a normal game, you say, let's take a shot at the end zone. In that situation where you're just in survival mode at that point, like you're getting boat raced in your own home, your team doesn't seem to know the plays, Tua is rattled, they're not being able to protect him, and at that point, you got to take those points. You got to say, hey, we got to get the guaranteed points. Let's get to the locker room and let's figure this thing out. Because if you go out there and you have a disastrous play, because we saw third quarter, anything was on the table for what the Dolphins may do, including Tua being weak, not having a strong arm, you throw the ball out of bounds and it becomes a pick six. It's one of those things where you don't want this bad thing to snowball. You finally got a drive that was halfway decent. Just take the points. You have no timeouts. You can't afford to take a sack. I think Mike McDaniel in that situation, he coached a terrible game. But you got to coach the game that you're in. Your team is in a complete tailspin. You have points that are there for you and a risk. If you try to run another play, you have to take those points.
Oh, man. I thought it sent a bad message.
I agree with DJ. You have Robbie Chosen on the field.
Oh,
you
man.
You send that field goal kicker out.
He was right. So bad.
The second interception was so clearly on Robbie Chosen running to the wrong place or slipping. I might give him a – and even the first – obviously the first interception was on the receiver too. Like, basically – the Bills had, obviously, I didn't realize it, like, oh, you have Tyreek Hill and you have Jalen Waddle, but then you got nobody. You are really thin at third receiver. So I agree. Like, they were a mess. Their offensive line was struggling big time. They were great between the 20s. They were moving the ball like crazy. They had a lot of yards last night.
Well,
they were running
the
ball really well.
Do that bend, don't break.
Yeah, but and Tua was super accurate. I mean, Tua, by the way, except for the interceptions, had a really accurate night. But there was no way he was not good in the end zone. I mean, like, they had no chance in the red zone. Tyreek Hill can't run past somebody when the end zone's right there. You say that you have Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle, you got to take a shot. That's exactly why you don't take a shot. That's not their bread and butter.
Pat, are you with me or are you with them?
I'm with you. I mean, I think the bloom is off the rose here on Mike McDaniel. I mean, was he stoned coaching this game last night? That last drive of that first half? We're talking about taking the points. I mean, they basically, you know, took every second they could just to get into the red zone.
Yeah.
Zero urgency whatsoever. And then even when Tua comes out of the game and the game, you know, it's now or never, Skylar Thompson's in the game, third and goal, and he goal line fade with Braxton Berrios?
Oh, well, that.
Like, what are we doing with the play calling? You know, on a short week, Buffalo's going to simplify the defense. And like you said, they're going to go with the bend, don't break, two high safety, not let you beat them. All right, well, scheme up some plays to get Tyreek Hill the ball. Scheme up some plays to get Jaylen Waddle the ball. I mean, totally lack of imagination with the play calling, uncreative. Flat out boring, and they looked unprepared.
Well, I think they wanted to run all over Buffalo. I think they found a formula, and that, by the way, and we say that, like, if Tua doesn't make those mistakes, my vibe in the first half was like, oh, Miami's kind of moving the ball on Buffalo.
Yeah, Buffalo's middle linebacker went out in the first quarter.
Yeah,
their linebacker depth is bad.
Right, I think that game could have gone differently. Honestly, there was like,
if not for the interceptions.
Yeah, if not for the interceptions, I don't feel like it was such a lopsided game. I totally understand what you're saying, Pat, but like, I just think the Dolphins are a limited team right now with only two guys. Like, I always say, every time I'm watching the Dolphins, I'm like, just put everybody you have on Tyreek Hill. Just let somebody else beat you. And that's what happened last night.
I think the question maybe for X today at Maggie and Pearl, should Tua play again? 855-212-4227. It was another scary concussion, like there's any other kind. But this one was bad. I think everyone collectively was holding their breath. But he was able to walk off the field. 855-212-4227. Then, yeah, let's talk about Mike McDaniel. Let's talk about the Dolphins.
Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff Show. We're talking about Tua Tagovailoa's concussion last night. Got hit against the Bills. Went into the different fencer's pose, but you could tell something was wrong immediately. Immediately diagnosed as a concussion. This is, we're saying, Maggie, you had a great point. This is his fourth known concussion, even though some reporters have third. Some people do say fourth. I mean, it is commonly known that it is his fourth concussion. So the question is, will he continue to play football? I also saw on social media last night, a lot of people are saying, why isn't he wearing a Guardian cap? Mm. So that's it. If he does come back and he's not wearing that Guardian cap, that would be strange.
Yeah, I mean, but again, this is like the hindsight because he stayed healthy all of last year as far as we know, right?
Yeah, it's hindsight, but like I don't completely understand why all the players aren't wearing Guardian caps. But you see it, they have that little mesh thing over the cap. It looks weird, but if you have one brain in your life, I'm curious why more players don't go in that way. I know the numbers are, they're not stunningly more safe. You can still get concussions, but they are more safe.
Yeah, the one dude from the Colts is wearing one, right?
I think there are a bunch of guys wearing them. Maybe I'm wrong, but I see a lot of the mesh thing over the top. I think there's a big percentage.
Sorry, let's go to the phones, 855-212-4227. We're asking you today, should Tua retire? After all these concussions, we're watching it on TV. It is just horrific. Josh is in Erie, Pennsylvania. Good morning, Josh.
Morning. So I have this thought. The owners need every ounce of goodwill. The NFLPA needs to be protecting their players and members. Why don't they all come to the table and agree that there should be provisions in the contract for if someone retires due to a TBI or a concussion, that they have some money set aside for that?
Yeah, you know, Josh, it's a great thought. You do get money for guaranteed for injury money. So that does exist in NFL contracts. Such a brutal sport. You know, you have to have some kind of protections for the players, and concussions would definitely fall under that.
So, but wouldn't it be a really good PR for both sides to have that on addition to the injury side?
Yeah, I mean, Josh, you're not wrong. I mean, the NFL, it's funny, they could use good PR, but it's not hurting the bottom line on this league. Sheesh.
What do they care about PR?
Going up.
They got Taylor Swift. They do not need good PR.
They have Taylor Swift. But there are injury guarantees. So, like, if Tua did have to retire for concussions, he's still walking away with a lot of money. Is it the full 212? No, but he's going to have plenty to live on. Joe's in Sacramento. Good morning, Joe.
Good morning, Maggie Perloff. How you guys doing?
We're good. What's up?
Oh, not much. Just driving to work. I'm just tying into the conversation, but with the Guardian cap, I don't understand why Tua doesn't have one on. There's a couple guys in the league that just should be wearing them, you know? And look like he took a shot, but maybe it went to the neck. But still, like, with his history, I just feel for the guy, and I don't understand why he's not using that to protect himself.
You know, Joe, and get to work safely, and thanks for checking in. I think that I wouldn't be surprised if Tua is going to come back, maybe they make that a condition of his comeback. Or maybe they think it, you know, makes everyone feel a little bit better if he's wearing it. Maybe he becomes a pioneer there. Maybe more guys start to wear them if a well-established star quarterback is wearing one.
Yeah, I'm sorry. There are only five players wore week one. I thought there were more. Jabril Peppers, I know, got some attention for wearing one. If you're an NFL safety, I mean, come on. That is one position where you are running up and making contact with people. You know, the irony was that it was DeMar Hamlin last night who sort of, he didn't really make the hit. Actually, Tua ran into him. It was just a bad angle. I think it was, but that's the thing with football.
But Tua lowered his head.
Yeah,
you know?
Tua lowered it. Yeah, of course. I would definitely, Tua has to wear that. I think people, if he does come back and he's not wearing that Guardian cap, I think he'll get criticism for that, and rightfully so.
Yeah, the question is, the Guardian cap's not foolproof,
no.
though. So,
right.
like, the idea that he would come back, and I think at this point you almost have to expect he's going to get another concussion. If he's on the field, I think it's fair to say you got to expect it. Sure, could we get a miracle and he never gets another one again? Well, we kind of thought that we were on that train and on those tracks last year when he stayed healthy for the full 17 games, and it was a temporary. Again, you're welcome to weigh in on X at Maggie and Pearl. Should Tua play again?
One thing about the Guardian caps, I'm reading this, apparently it adds a lot of heat to your helmet too, and last night, that's one of the sweatiest football games I've ever seen in my life.
I felt bad for the halftime show. I was like, why are you guys all wearing suits? Oh, my. Except for Ryan Fitzpatrick, of course. Looks like he's at the Golden Nugget at a $5 table.
I felt bad for the Bills beat writers. Can you imagine being in Miami in you know, early September instead of being there in mid-December?
Well, I actually...
Not used to the heat.
Mike McDaniel was sweating up a storm. I felt like Sean McDermott was kind of not sweating as much. Is he a cooler customer, Maggie, your Bills coach?
No, but for some reason, Mike McDaniel wears a sweatshirt to every game.
A hoodie.
Yeah.
Yeah, what was that?
I don't know. He's got something. If you notice when the weather gets colder, he also like won't wear a jacket now. He's got a, or he did in the Kansas City game because that was just for safety. But he's got a weird thing about that.
By the way, it's a pretty good two-game run there for your guy, Sean McDermott. I feel like, remember you were wondering about his future last year?
Yeah, I would push him out of the way for Harbaugh tomorrow, but he's doing a really good job with the defense.
I feel like one team was better coached than the other last night.
Well, no doubt. I mean, that's the other thing, too. It's like, oh, the Bills own the Dolphins. Like, well, the Dolphins have been churning through head coaches since this. Like, the Bills have a level of stability here that the Dolphins have not enjoyed.
Stability now that they're 2-0, being on a treadmill of mediocrity in the playoffs was what you said last year.
I did say that.
So it's like, you know, it's like Mike Tomlin. Is it stability or is it the same old, same old?
Well, but the other thing, the Dolphins have been also cycling through coordinators. I mean, they can't keep an offensive or defense coordinator in the building. That's secondary to what's going on with Tua. Andrew Bogish is here with headlines this morning.
Guys, good morning. If only it was just a bad game for Tua.
Tua in the shotgun with Wilson to his right. Takes the snap, back to pass. Looking over the middle, pressure coming. Has to heave it, and it's intercepted. Coming the other way, and going for six is Jamarcus Ingram. A 30-yard interception return for a touchdown. Tua's third pick of the night.
That's from Bills Radio. Tua's three picks fueling a 31-10 Bills rout, but none of that matters with Tua dealing again with a concussion. It's too early to know anything about the next time he plays, so it's Skylar Thompson's job indefinitely.
I'm confident, though. I feel like I'm ready for whatever's to come, and I'm going to prepare and work hard and do everything I can to lead this team and, you know, do my job.
The Bills quarterback started the night with his left hand in a glove. Josh Allen left the field flexing that hand towards the many Bills fans that were in Miami as a sign that he's okay. Allen threw for 139 yards and a score to James Cook, who also ran for two. Their Bills are now 2-0 this season. They've won 14 of the last 16 meetings with the Finns.
Are we ready to admit that the Bills are better without Stephon Diggs? Anyone else going there with me?
They almost lost to the Cardinals at home last week.
Yeah, so. But not because of their offense. I see two 30-point game. I don't know. They do not miss that guy.
Okay,
I think
Coleman,
that's very clear.
Can the guy touch the ball last night?
No. That was not the plan.
Maggie, you stood here and said they should run the ball all the time. You said it last year, and now they do it.
Yeah.
You're not allowed to complain because you advised them. In fact, I think you made a call.
I did.
And they are exactly who they should be right now.
Yeah.
They are definitely better without Diggs.
This is just like it was working last night, so you're just going to go with it. Like, they couldn't
Yeah, it worked a whole lot second half of last year, too. I mean, when they sort of put Diggs to the side, they're clearly a more versatile offense.
Look, I mean, in some ways, they're kind of like doing not this year's Kansas City Chiefs because they added Xavier Worthy and he could end up being their next Tyreek Hill, possibly. But they're kind of just doing what the Chiefs do. They just don't have Kelsey. But they're kind of doing the same thing. Like, let's spread this out with all different types of receivers. Let's do the run game. I mean, James Cook and Isaiah Pacheco don't run the same way, but they're kind of...
I mean, Cook, they're both very fast. I think
they're
Cook,
like two steps behind the Chiefs in everything they do.
Cook's numbers are tremendous. I mean...
Oh, I know. It's amazing they actually gave him the ball at the goal line. Usually he'll take the ball, he'll like have six carries on a drive, and then they'll give it to the fifth running back on the depth chart for the goal line carry. It's like they're testing him to see if he's going to break or something. He's just going to snap and lose it.
Well,
and
more often, too, it's Josh Allen. I mean, it's the fact that he actually, I was shocked that fantasy owners are obsessed with Josh Allen running every time in the red zone. I was actually impressed. I'm like, oh my God, he handed the ball off.
Yeah, it's only
what's
because
going on?
His left hand is probably about to fall off. What else we got?
Tony Busby, the lawyer representing Deshaun Watson's latest accuser, says she wants to meet with NFL investigators, hopefully within the next 2 weeks. He says they have a video the league should see, as well as two witnesses. A civil suit filed Monday says Watson sexually assaulted the woman in her Houston apartment before a dinner date in October 2020. Russell Wilson said yesterday he is getting, quote, closer and closer to returning from his calf injury, but Justin Fields still in line to start Sunday in Denver. They're going to win the NL Central, be in the postseason. So let me introduce you now to 20-year-old Brewers center fielder Jackson Churio.
Pitch to Churio, fly ball right field. Back goes Yastrzemski, staring and gone! Jackson Churio, liftoff, a two-run home run, and he's 2020. At the age of 20.
Fast forward to a month from now, coming in off a Brewer playoff game that Perloff accidentally watched and goes, how come nobody mentioned Jackson Churio before? That was Jeff Levering on Brewers Radio. Churio's the youngest ever with a 2020 season thanks to that two-run homer in San Francisco. The 3-0 win drops the Brewers' magic number for the division to 7. The Guardians took a 5-2 loss from the Rays, dropping their AL Central lead to 4 games on the Royals. The New York Liberty cruising through Dallas 99-67. Their magic number for the 1 seed in the WNBA postseason is now 2. And finally, French soccer club PSG ordered to pay Kylian Mbappe $61 million in unpaid salary and bonuses. The team issuing this statement yesterday.
I'll not pay this fine I've incurred. It's unjust.
It's not paying anything for real for now, saying it'll pursue further legal action in this ugly divorce.
A lot of money to pay a guy who didn't win a damn thing, basically.
Mbappe now plays for Real Madrid. Well, I mean, you know, contracts are contracts. If he's owed money, he's owed money. You kind of have to pay whether you win or not.
Yeah, he's probably the most overrated player I've seen in the sport in the last 15 years.
Oh, give me a break.
I thought he's one of the best players.
He is.
Yeah, he won the World Cup, and since then hasn't done squat.
I mean,
wait a minute.
That's not nothing.
How many goals did he score in the last World Cup final?
I don't know, not enough.
Three? Two? Three? Come on, Pat, give me a break.
Not more than Messi.
I can't believe it. I didn't think I'd be arguing soccer with you this morning. Come on.
on a club level, guys, done nothing.
It's a football Friday, but not that kind of football. 855-212-4227. We owe it to the audience to move back to our kind of football.
Were you talking about the Brewers a minute ago? I'm totally lost.
There it is.
My Brewers.
Yes. Oh, good morning, guys.
Oh. When Brawl comes in with the Churio jersey, hat.
Somebody's buying churros for breakfast.
Honey, that Cheerios? What's
happened? Yeah. Oh, we are getting breakfast today because it was actually a very long night for Perloff and myself.
Are you guys hungover?
No,
I think it's a lot longer for Mac. I'm getting the sense that you got home a little later than I did because you...
Can I tell you my harrowing ride home last night?
Wait, really?
Yes.
I did not hear
it. I got to save it for you because we got to go to break. Exactly. I was... Last night's ride home from where we were at this party last night... Probably took 2 years off my life. Welcome back, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. Robust conversation about whether Sydney Sweeney is what did you say? A good hang?
Yeah.
Yes, I'm sure that's what everyone's into Sydney Sweeney for. She's a good hang.
I mean, it's Maggie, listen, some of us need more than just physical attraction, okay?
You can be... Who, the guys in this room? Not you do.
Not me.
I'm sorry, you five.
This is sports talk radio, not political talk radio. We're not supposed to hold back in the fact that we all love Sydney Sweeney. Right? I'm
listen,
sorry.
I love her too.
That's just a fact.
I'm not an issue voter, but I'm not a one-issue dater.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not going to lie and pretend that I'm not with the rest of every other...
red-blooded
American male.
I'd sell my child to look like her for 5 minutes.
Well, I was a cute cart girl at a golf course in high school. Not as cute as her, though.
If you were, you wouldn't be sitting here with us.
Not even a little bit.
Let's talk about Tua, and then I'll get to my harrowing ride home from a party that Perloff and I were at last night. D's in Portland. D, is Tua going to play again?
I don't... he is. He just signed a $200+ million contract, and when you sign that much money, and he's just thinking about how to take care of his kids, you know, generational wealth where,
yeah,
you know, they never have to work. So I just can't see him just saying, nope, here's, you know, most of the money back. I'm done. Plus, he loves the game, so there's no way. Also... one more thing. I also appreciate you guys always being on, and I hope you guys make it big because I really like listening to you guys in the mornings and then in the afternoons as well.
Oh,
thank you again.
Thank you. Oh, sometimes, Pearl, if I forget, they replay our show in the afternoon in Portland.
Yeah, by the way, does Dee know something we don't know? What do you mean? I hope you guys make it big.
Isn't big?
Yeah,
we're superstars, so I don't know what you're talking about, Dee. No, thank you for the compliment. No, you can always be bigger. He's right about... So I think that Tua, if he plays his cards correctly and doesn't start investing in like restaurants and Bitcoin, like he should
floating
have enough
furniture.
He should have enough to live on. He's not going to have to give enough of that back where he's going to have millions upon millions of dollars to live on.
Yeah, I think the economic incentive to go back out there is gigantic. Even with, say, that $42 million signing bonus check he just got, if there's another $150 million, like, that's every reason to go out there. Remember when the concussion thing was at its peak? And everyone, there are a lot of experts who said, like, opinion columnists who said, people are not going to want to play in the NFL anymore. It's going to water down the sport. But I'm like, I just watched Hard Knocks, and a guy cried because he got cut.
Yeah.
Like, that. I thought that was insane to think that people are not going to want to play football. People are dying to play NFL football. They're dying to make their careers go longer. That's all they want.
Yeah, I think where the big change is I think a lot of parents maybe are holding their kids out of football until high school.
I mean, I can confirm that.
Okay, that's probably true.
I can't give you a percentage drop, but I've talked to more parents, my 10-year-old son's age group, that either stopped playing football or didn't let their son sign up in the first place.
But do you worry that there's going to be a lack of supply of good players? To me, that's ridiculous.
No, because I think you can start your sophomore, your freshman or sophomore year of high school, and you can still make it. We see stories like that all the time where it's like, he didn't even play high school. He played baseball or whatever. He didn't play football in high school.
I think there's also
high school.
I think there's also a regional difference. I think where
that's
the players are coming from in Florida and Texas might not view it the same
California.
Way.
California, right.
Yeah, I think I'll bet you youth football in Texas is jamming right now. I just think that it's, I think people were also talking about Tua's going to be a great case. I mean, that's a lot of money on the table. I think they know the risk, and he should walk away, of course, but I'd be surprised. I think it's really, really hard to walk away, even if you have money in the bank.
I mean, the other part, too, is his age. You know, he cited that when he talked about possibly retiring last time. He's like, I'm a young man. Like, he's 26 years old. He probably feels like he doesn't want to, you know, the idea of like, oh, let's think about when I'm 45 and I might be struggling with depression or all these other things that have been linked to concussions. I don't think it's in his field of view right now. This is what it's like to be young.
Maybe also, too, he hopes technology and medicine and, like, maybe there's a cure for CTE down the road. I have no idea, but I'm sure that is entering his mind. How old is he?
26.
26. He'd be like, well, you know, by the time I'm 46, they'll have something that can help me with the ramifications of this. If there's $150 million on the table, we would all change the way we think. Like, I personally would be terrified of not having my wits about me later on. I mean, you guys have seen...
But you'd do it for the 150.
No, I don't think I would because I don't know if I would. Because, listen, I'm already... You guys are making fun of me for already losing my memory. I, you know, if you see people... with dementia, it's like the most tragic thing that can happen to a human being. It's awful when you lose yourself, but you're still there physically.
I know.
So that's the fear is great. Where would you lean?
Well, I can tell you, this is not a decision I've ever had to make, but I do have a son.
Yeah.
He's 5 years old, and I would absolutely, I would not let him play contact football until he gets to high school, you know? And I feel bad even saying that because Chris Nowinski, the Concussion Legacy Foundation, former Mr. Harvard from WWE, played football at Harvard. He would probably be, you know, we've been friends for a long time, and he'd probably be disappointed that I even said that. So we're going to talk to Chris later on in the show. Speaking of people with gigantic brains, Perloff and I went to a Sports Illustrated reunion last night. Never been to anything like this before. It was the 70th anniversary of the magazine. And it was basically, besides the amazing brains in this room and on Zoom, it was the largest collection of smart people I've ever been around. It was, if you're into journalism, this was quite the who's who of people who have walked through the doors of Sports Illustrated. But that's not the story I want to tell, unless you want to talk about that.
No, I'm dying to know what happened on the way home.
So on the way home, so this thing was like 75 miles from my house, right?
Yeah, my daily commute in my old job, but yeah.
Yeah, right. I can't believe you did that for 12 years. Yeah. So I think I've told you guys this before, but I drive an electric car. I got one for this job specifically because I'm just on the...
Oh, no.
And I'm really good about charging it and making sure it's charged all the time. But I know exactly sort of how far I need to go all the time and stuff like that. I really miscalculated how far this thing was. And I just said, I'm an idiot. And I just wasn't thinking about, do I actually have enough charge to make it to this place?
So is it, and it's full electric, not a hybrid where the not gas kicks in at some point?
Full electric. I get into the car, I park, and I'm like, oh, no. I've got 71 miles on the charge, and I'm 71 miles away from my home. Like, it was exact the amount of miles I needed to go was the exact charge. Fast forward to me driving home from this party that we went to. I had to go 40 on the highway. I'm in the all the way right lane with the flashers on. It's dark, by the way. I have the, like AAA platinum status, but I don't want to use it. Like I don't want to run out of charge on the highway. I've got tractor trailers just blowing by me. Yeah, it wasn't that funny.
Me on my golf cart would have beaten you on that.
40 with the flashers on. All the way home.
Well, I was a cute cart girl at a golf course in high school.
Yeah.
And I could, despite the governor and that thing, we could have done 45 and beat you in a race.
And then the worst part was I'm talking to my husband. We were doing our production meeting, but then I talked to my husband about putting my kid to bed and all that stuff. And I missed the exit. And I cost myself like another 3 miles.
Oh, no.
I coasted into
By
town
the way,
on fumes.
EJ, you were on that call, the production call.
Yeah.
Did Maggie sound stressed to you? I was like, wow, Maggie's really kind of uptight about some of these stories. Were you looking at your car the whole time?
It was like that scene in Airplane where Stryker is just sweating, or like the Jordan Peele meme where he's just like got the sweat pouring down his face. And I was driving all hunched over, like, you know, when you get nervous
in
a snowstorm. It was a scene, man.
Wait,
it was funny because like there were times where Perloff was like, "Well, maybe we could do this topic a little different." Maggie's like, "It's fine, let's move on."
Oh my god, that's exactly what I mean. She was really short on the call. She's
like, do we
not like
the topic or do we not like the topic? Let's move on. We're not doing the show right now.
I was like, "Well, maybe if we're looking from this angle," these guys like, "Yeah." And Maggie's like, "I don't care. Just get me home." I could totally tell in your voice. I'm like, "Wow, we just had this really fun party, and Maggie seems miserable." And I could not figure out I'm like, she must be really tired or something.
How dare you? I'm going to get stuck on, I was like, I'm going to get stuck on like the Tappan Zee Bridge or something.
Oh, God. I can't even hear this. It's making me stressed.
I like having an electric car. It's been fine, but it's somewhat my own fault.
Naive question. Can you stop at a gas station and charge up anywhere?
Well, my husband's sending me these charge stations, but I was kind of just like, let's just get home. Like, it's late. I'm tired. We got the show the next day. In fairness, I wanted to watch the Bills game. You know, there was a lot of reasons I needed to get home. So I was going 40.
Right, but you are charging so you can get home.
I know, but I have to sit there for an hour, 50, you know, to let it charge. It doesn't happen in the snap.
As compared to sitting in the woods of New Jersey, 3 miles from your house?
just pushing the car home. Whew. I made it, though.